Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The most important ingredients to sustaining health and wellness are the resources and tools that help you live a vibrant and healthy life. At San Juan Regional Medical Center, the goal is to promote health by making sure those resources are available. Find the path to the best life at lifebetterhere.com. San Juan Regional Medical Center. Better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. It's 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, the 18th day of January, 2023. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin, and thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air right here, of course, in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, you can tune us in, of course, at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet, just go to our website, ksje.com, or ask your smart speaker to play KSJE, and it will do just that. Welcome also to our viewers who are joining us this morning. This is a community-supported visual radio station, so we welcome our viewers who are joining us today, watching on the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So welcome aboard, everybody, because coming up in the next few moments, we're going to talk energy with the one and the only Jason Sandell from Aztec Well Service. He has a lot of experience in that area, and we're excited to learn about his thoughts on the future of energy here in the San Juan Basin and beyond. Stay tuned for that conversation beginning in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then, of course, later on this hour, Mr. Ron Price will be joining me. Another lesson about life in the sandbox coming your way today, 8:50 a.m. right here online, on air, and on our social media platforms. Next hour, of course, Mick Hess is going to take us roving with the arts, so we hope you'll stay tuned for some great classical music coming up at 9:06 after the news right here. And that takes us to 10:30, right on Four Corners, our long-standing author show with local and regional authors. This week, Delcherie Gladden is speaking with author W. Michael Farmer about his latest book called Trini Come. You'll hear that conversation and learn more about that book coming up today at 10:30 on KSJE. Weather impacts today, of course. It's another snowy morning here in the San Juan Basin, and so we've got some school closings and delays to pass along to you. Closed today include San Juan College, Farmington Schools, Aztec Schools, and Durango Schools. They are all closed for the day today. Virtual only now is Bloomfield. They have moved to virtual, not 2-hour delay, but Central Consolidated, Dulce, the DZ School, Cortez, Navajo Prep, and Navajo Technical University in Crown Point all reporting a 2-hour delay today, and as we mentioned, Bloomfield is still going to have classes, but virtually today. You can find the latest, most updated list on our website, of course, at ksje.com. The weather outside our studios this morning, well, currently it's 26 degrees with some snow flurries in the air. We are expecting today a windy day with some off and on snow showers this morning. The high 35 in Farmington today. Clear and cold tonight. Take a look, 11 degrees for a low tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny. The high 34 on Thursday, 24 Thursday night, but then another chance of rain or snow showers moving in on Friday with a high of 35 degrees and a low Friday night of 17. And on Saturday, partly sunny skies with a high near 30 degrees. And before we get to our interview this morning, we can take you outside to the scene at San Juan College this morning, which is closed for the day, as you can see, which is why there's plenty of parking, because the place is closed today. But a little bit of snow. The grounds crew, of course, has cleared the streets, so the streets are mostly clear here at the college. There certainly are some snow-covered roads, though, in the area, so if you are going out driving, do be careful, because you might find one of those slippery spots. But with that being said, let me turn to my guest who made his way through the snow to get here this morning to be with me in the studio. Jason Sandell is here from Aztec Well Service. Good to have you here, and good morning.
Hey, good morning, Scott. How are you
today? I'm well. Thank you for being here, and welcome back to KSJE. And you haven't been here in person in a while. We were talking about that.
Haven't been here in a while. We lived through COVID where we did everything remotely,
right.
And now showing up here in the studio. What a place.
Here you are. So we're glad to have you here, and there's lots to talk about. And so I guess let's start with maybe the news about Enchant Energy and the city of Farmington. Of course, those two entities were partnering on this carbon capture project, trying to save the jobs of the San Juan Generating Station, a noble effort, I think, and an idea, as PNM announced they were going to close that coal-fired power plant. And then just within about 30 days or so, I think Enchant has said, we can't go forward. The city said, we can't go forward with this. And so that project is, I guess, pretty much dead, if it's not too early to say that. I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think that that's
some
right.
may say it was dead longer than 30 days ago, and so I'll say that as well. But
yeah.
Now it's maybe official. So,
yeah,
what are your thoughts?
Well, Scott, I think first I'd like to start off by expressing appreciation for all of the men and women who worked at the power plant, whether it be digging for coal or keeping the machinery running or working the power plant. This has been a mainstay in our community for half a century, and God bless the families who have dedicated their lives to delivering electricity and energy on our behalf. And so, every conversation starting or dealing with energy, I think it's important to start out recognizing the people who have dedicated their lives to it, because it is an incredible feat that they have undertaken on our behalf. As it relates to the closure of the plant, many believe that this is the result of what was the Energy Transition Act that passed the legislature in 2019. But the fact of the matter is that the plant had announced closure back to 2017, and dating back to the Martinez administration, when the Martinez administration had required best available retrofit technology to be put onto San Juan Generation Station, and it was determined at that time that really pursuing coal-fired electricity was something that the nation was moving away from. And I felt at that time as a Farmington City Councilor, and remain committed to the ideal that as a community, we should have really been looking for alternatives at the same time that we were working to protect jobs. So making sure that we weren't putting all of our eggs in a single basket. And unfortunately, here we are now, 2017, 6, 7 years later, and now the ratepayers of Farmington Electric Utility System are going to have to pay the price for having all of our eggs in one basket, which was trying to save San Juan Generation Station, and I find that to be unfortunate.
Right, and we'll talk about that too in just a second. But the idea was that I think everyone was a little bit surprised at how quickly PNM announced that they were going to move away from coal-fired power, not just this plant, but in their whole portfolio, I think, of providing that type of energy to its customers and just moving away. And so obviously they saw something on the wall, I guess, that this future it was just too expensive, I suppose, as more regulations and cleaner air laws and regulations and things like that came onto the books, I suppose, right?
Yeah, I think that's right, Scott. I think part of the story is really about power purchase agreements, what are affectionately called PPAs, and communities and ultimately customers and ratepayers are looking for an alternative source of energy from coal and coal-fired power plants. And so even if the project had been able to move forward, finding the offtake for the electricity that was going to be generated here in the community was going to be difficult at best. And I think that what we saw is that three-legged stool between carbon capture and ensuring that we had a outlet for the carbon capture, keeping the coal mine beyond environmental regulation, and then finding the customers for the electricity, that three-legged stool really did collapse upon its own weight. And unfortunately, as I said, I think we as a community are now left holding the bag, And we really need to be talking about what the future holds. And unfortunately, we've waited as long as we have in order to get there.
Right. And so let's move forward and talk a little bit about what that means, because we've heard the city explain a little bit about what that means to the Farmington Electric Utility, which is that they're not going to be getting that source of power anymore. They were part owner of that plant, and they'll have to go out and replace that power somewhere, which means, I guess, you go out to the open market and shop around. And if anyone's been watching what's been happening with energy prices, it's a little pricey out there. And I think the utility has said, get ready, we've just got to bite the bullet, I guess, and pass this along as we figure out what's next. And I think the city is going to go to the legislature, maybe, now that the 60-day session has started, to try to get some relief for the utility. But there's probably more to it.
Yeah, I think that that's right, Scott. And really, hindsight is 20/20, and we can say we should have or could have done any number of things in the past. I think that the community going to the legislature and asking for some relief makes a lot of sense. But at the end of the day, you know, we should have had a power purchase agreement in place to backfill the amount of electricity that we would be losing. I think it's 87 megawatts from the San Juan Generation Station. And we should have had that power purchase agreement in place 2 years ago, so that we weren't having to pay the increased on the market fees today. And of course, on the market, the fees are so high because we're looking at natural gas prices increasing significantly over the past year and a half. And so the cost of electricity on the open market is reflective of those increased prices of generation. So, it was a mistake from my perspective. Not a fatal mistake, but still a mistake. And we need to do the best that we can to make sure that the ratepayers inside of the community are held harmless to the greatest extent possible.
Right. And I think, you know, again, it was well widely known that PNM was going to shut down that plant. They got a 3-month extension, I think, to get us through last summer. But still, you know, that was certainly well known. And it seemed to me, as an outsider looking in, that the Enchant project was not ready to kind of take over that plant when PNM was pulling the plug, for lack of a better term, and start the dismantling and decommissioning process, which is all part of PNM's plan as the former owner of the plant, of what they had to do. And I think it got more and more difficult for the city and Enchant to say, well, we can still put the pieces back together and maybe find these laid off workers. I don't know where they were expected to come from, but I mean, those workers had been, most of them, there were still a few left on staff, had been laid off and let go because the plant was shutting down.
That's exactly correct. And remembering that there was an announcement in 2017 that San Juan Generation Station was slated to be closed. 2019, the Energy Transition Act passed, and at that time is when the city of Farmington really petitioned the state legislature to allow for some opportunity for Enchant to, you know, move the ball forward on their particular project. And look, from a carbon capture and sequestration perspective, which I think has some great hope and merit on behalf of our community, there were certainly some great aspects of what the plan was, but I think it was hastily put together, and we probably should have had a backup plan, a plan B, if you will, if not a plan B, C, and D.
Right. Gotcha. Understood. Now, to the city's credit, the utility still has in its portfolio some hydropower, the natural gas plant that provides power to the city of Farmington, and some of those things. So they certainly do have some sources for energy generation. They're not having to buy everything on the open market.
That's exactly correct. The portfolio is blended and diversified inside of FEUS, and it really is, I think, this 87 megawatts that is causing the greatest consternation that we should have been looking to be able to replace several years ago.
Gotcha. So let's move forward a little bit. I want to ask you a bit about natural gas, because anyone who hears the name Jason Sandell thinks natural gas and the gas industry and Aztec Well Service, and prices are up. A lot higher than they have been in a very long time, from what I can see. And so you would think that'd be good news for local producers and activity. And I'm not seeing maybe as much activity as I maybe thought I would see. I think there's certainly more, but maybe not as much as folks would think there should be with the price as high as it is.
You know, it's been a wild ride, really, since the fourth quarter of 2021. I'd like to back up just a minute.
Sure.
When people think of Jason Sandel, they think of natural gas, or when they think of natural gas, and typically when they think of me, it's usually hot air.
Well, no.
But you're right.
I thought I was clear, but okay. Yes, yeah, sir.
Nat gas has seen a price recovery since the fourth quarter of 2021. 2022 has been a year of recovery for us. And what an interesting and strange year it has been, all the way from inflation and the president pulling down the Strategic Petroleum Reserve on the oil side of the business, but then with NatGas price recovery, starting to see some activity here in the San Juan Basin, and then really the conversation around energy transition and how NatGas and how the San Juan Basin can play into what that transition is looking like. It's been a year of discovering possibilities and really exploring opportunities. And you say that you haven't seen kind of the demonstrable level of activity that you would expect based upon NatGas prices. I would say, for the first time since 2008, we've got our equipment working and our people working, and so we've seen the uptick in activity, which has been nice. And just a shameless plug, if anybody wants to come work and start a career in the oil field and get paid well for a day's worth of work, a good, honest day's worth of work for an honest wage, come out and see us.
You're hiring.
We're hiring.
Okay. There is demand, obviously,
for
workers. And after so many years of a low demand or no demand, I guess that is also maybe part of the issue, right? Is maybe some of these folks have moved out of the community and they're not around anymore to apply for these jobs.
That's exactly correct. You know, when we saw things collapse in 2008, it was October 14th of 2008, and we saw NatGas prices collapse from 15 to 2. Every rig that we had operating showed up in the yard within a week, and there hasn't been much activity inside of the San Juan Basin. We had a little bit of a oil uptick from 2012 to 2014, but if you were in the industry at that time, the chances were that you went to North Dakota or you went down to the Permian, either on the New Mexico or the Texas side. Went to another area that you were able to work on shift and rotation and maintain your lifestyle and the work that you had on behalf of your family. Again, just really recognizing as school is closed today and people are turning their heaters on in their house and turning them up, it is these workers that are out today in the snow with their coveralls on that are delivering energy so that you can turn on your heat. And it's just an amazing thing for me. But, you know, what we've seen is with the recovery of NatGas, an opportunity for the community to become recognized again. As the super majors have left our community, the ConocoPhillipses and the BPs have left the community, we now have large independently owned businesses that are now heavily invested in the San Juan, and they're excited about what we can deliver on their behalf. And as a contractor in the industry, I'm excited about what we can deliver on their behalf.
The basin still has natural gas reserves.
Huge amount.
Right. The technology is improving to get at those reserves, I think, right? And maybe to make more wells, more producing wells, I suppose, right? And then we still have the pipeline infrastructure to get the natural gas out of this area to markets and other places in North America, which I think are two of the strengths, I guess, of the basin, because it's just been here for so long. What did we celebrate, the 100th anniversary a couple years ago, right? And so I think there's a lot of pluses, right, that are kind of built into this story.
That's right. In fact, I think I got a 1-year free membership to the Historical Society for doing a speech about the 100-year anniversary of the first natural gas well, which is just coincidentally located just directly across the street from Aztec Well. But You're exactly correct. I mean, we've got a massive amount of gas reserves, and with what we call the new Mancos dry gas development, saw a presentation here within the past 30 days that says that we'll have 100 years worth of gas supply coming out of the San Juan Basin at very large quantities. Some are likening the San Juan Basin's new development opportunities to that of the Marcellus, which is an enormous opportunity for our community. So yes, we have the infrastructure, we have the ability to recover the resources, and then ultimately we have the pipeline infrastructure. The pipeline infrastructure is going to have to be updated. It is a challenge that we're going to be confronted as a community, as we're looking at how we can upgrade what the infrastructure is on behalf of the community for the next century. But at the end of the day, the forecast for us is rosy.
Right. To upgrade that pipeline infrastructure is still cheaper than building from scratch, is it not?
It is,
Or kind of.
and you know what we're looking at, and I'm fortunate enough to be New Mexico's representative to an organization named Western States and Tribal Nations. It's Wyoming, Utah, four counties in Colorado, the state of New Mexico, and a number of tribal nations, including the Utes in Utah, the Southern Utes. The Jicarilla just recently joined us, where we are talking about what it is that we can do to drive down global greenhouse emissions, life cycle emissions across the globe, and San Juan Nat Gas has the opportunity to reduce life cycle emissions in Asia by 40%. We're looking and embarking upon a conversation about how we can export the nat gas that gets delivered across the Rocky Mountains and deliver that via exports via tanker ships to Asia, specifically Japan, Taiwan, South Korea, and beyond. And that really is the new frontier for the San Juan Basin is we're now in a global marketplace instead of our gas just going to California.
And we've talked about that before, which I think is a fascinating idea, that natural gas from the San Juan Basin in this region of the country, a landlocked region, could get to a port and be exported and sent across the ocean to Asia, Japan, some of the other countries, and still be affordable, still be relatively inexpensive to fill their energy needs. And that's what you're saying.
Absolutely. So there is an LNG liquefied natural gas, what was an import facility on the coast of Baja, Mexico, that a company by the name of Sempra Infrastructure has now reversed the flow, turned it into an export facility. And we have pipelines out of San Juan across Arizona down very close to this facility. And at this time, they're going to be taking about 25% of the 500 million cubic feet per day that they look to be exporting out of the San Juan. And they're looking to take 100% of the fuel that they need from the Rocky Mountains. And they'll be looking at 3 billion cubic feet of gas per day. So upsizing the infrastructure that's coming out of the San Juan. And then I think a critical piece of the conversation that oftentimes gets forgotten is that the infrastructure company and ultimately the end users like our gas, like Rocky Mountain gas, because it is developed in an environmentally responsible manner. And so we're stopping methane leaks and producing gas in a way that is cleaner than any other gas across the world. And it is because of that responsible development that folks like Japan are looking to us to fuel their future.
Rather than China or
Rather
Russia
than
or some of these other
China
places
or
that are producers as
that's
well.
exactly correct. And I'll even venture to say rather than the Permian Basin. Which exists half in Texas, and Texas doesn't have the same environmental protections that New Mexico has, which has really raised awareness about what our product is that we can sell on the open market.
Got you. Interesting. And I think we're learning more just how global the marketplace is, right, with what's been going on, the war in Ukraine and things like that that have impacted some of the other supplies and supply chains and things like that, of how just fragile that that whole system is and how easily it can be disrupted. Even if we don't see it in our own backyards, we can still maybe play a role in this global demand.
That's spot on, Scott. And as usual, you're on top of it, because the Permian gas, which is gas that's associated with the development of oil product, is now being taken east to Louisiana, being put on LNG tanker ships there, and coming out of Louisiana into Western Europe to fuel what was being fueled by Russia and is no longer. And so what that has done is created an increase in demand globally for nat gas, now that Western Europe is replacing Russian gas. And so the focus on San Juan gas and Rocky Mountain gas is even more present than it has been in years past, where Asia now feels beholden to China and Russia and scared about what the future can hold for them. And a Western export facility off the west coast of North America is de-risked because we're not going through the Panama Canal, and is much cheaper than coming out of Louisiana to service the Asian nations. And so there's a lot of opportunity for us, is what it comes down to.
Right. And that's this Baja facility that you're talking about,
that's
at least
correct.
Part of it, right?
That's right.
Are there other plans? I would think there would be of other U.S. domestic facilities being constructed across the Pacific coast, perhaps?
There are not. There's another export facility that's being considered in Mexico, and then one in Canada. I will say, unfortunately, the west coast of the United States is not much interested in piping fossil fuels through their property and then opening up their ports to export. And so, I'm grateful that we have a good relationship with our brothers and sisters to the north and to the south, so that we have an opportunity to export our commodity.
Gotcha. But we still have pipelines that go to California, do we not?
From
the San Juan Basin?
Okay. We absolutely do. And in fact, California just changed some rules here recently to where nat gas is considered a clean burning fuel and renewable energy. I don't know renewable is necessarily the proper terminology for today's technology, but at the end of the day, they know that they need gas in order to fulfill the electricity needs of the consumers and the population inside of that state.
Very interesting. Very interesting. My guest this morning, Jason Sandell, is here from Aztec Well Service. We're talking a bit about regional and global energy and energy issues, of course. I did want to ask you a bit about, it sounds like the future of the gas markets are good. Natural gas has been called kind of this transition fuel, as we talk about renewables, and I think a lot of folks see the promise of renewables, which would be cleaner. I think it's without controversy to say cleaner than maybe burning natural gas or other types of fossil fuels, which is kind of why we're moving away from coal and other things. But as we go there, I mean, there does need to be this kind of transitional energy, because we're seeing the issues right now. We talked about that earlier in the program about how you create energy and have enough energy for power utilities like City of Farmington and PNM and others to meet the demand of the population that wants to be able to flip the switch and get their lights on or heat their homes or recharge their electric vehicles or whatever the case may be. The demand for energy is still high.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we need to think about as we're talking about the development of resources and energy inside of the United States and across the globe, we need to think about who the enemy is as it relates to the environment and accomplishing our zero carbon goals by 2050. And I don't think that the enemy is necessarily the fuel.
Let me stop you right there. It's my stove. I understand. I understand where you're going.
And your stove is
my stove.
The enemy.
It's my stove. I'm sorry, everyone.
my stove, too.
Okay. All right. Well, we're in this together.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So the enemy is not the fuel. It is the emission from the fuel. And so there are a great number of very, very smart people who have been working for decades on alternatives to the emissions that come from the fuel, because it's widely understood, even in the environmental community, that there are nine hard to transition industries that are going to require fuel as we're looking to transition over the next 30 years. And so, what is it that we're going to do to be able to provide this fuel for these hard to transition industries? And hydrogen is very much part of the mix, and clean, responsible natural gas development is also part of that mix. And all of that bodes well for our community and the future for our community if we can all get on the same page of responsible development, mitigating emissions to the greatest extent possible, and delivering a clean fuel for these hard to transition industries.
And there's a way to do all that cleanly, as you've already explained, right? Even with some of the emission regulations here in New Mexico that makes our gas some of the cleanest around in the world, you could still do that, sell it at a profit, and still have a good business model, it sounds like.
That no question. And different folks, I guess different strokes for different folks. In the state of New Mexico, we put regulation in place through the methane advisory panel on how it was that we were going to control methane emissions. It was not 6 months ago, I saw testimony before Congress where the state of Wyoming, the governor in Wyoming, was saying that they had accomplished the same goal through private market and enterprise. There's a company, Jonah Energy, who is certifying their gas as clean, responsibly produced natural gas, and they're doing that based upon market demand. The city of Denver is requesting that all gas that they use be certified responsibly produced. So whether it be through government regulation or through private market forces, at the end of the day, consumers are requesting, in fact, demanding that the fuel that they use on their stoves is cleaner and responsibly produced. And so I believe that the industry is stepping up to meet that challenge and will deliver to the demand.
And an interesting distinction, I think, from what you said between the San Juan Basin energy market and what we're hearing about from the Permian with natural gas.
Absolutely. So, we look at the Permian Basin being split between New Mexico and Texas. And for many years, we heard about how New Mexico businesses were going to just leave and cross the border and go over into the wild west of Texas. But what I can say definitively after sitting with the Japanese Trade Minister for Energy, he very specifically is looking at New Mexico natural gas from the San Juan Basin because of the guarantees that we have in place that the fuel is going to be produced responsibly. Whereas gas that's coming out of the Permian Basin, you can't guarantee that right now because that molecule could be delivered in Texas, put into a pipeline with flaring and other and venting and other practices that are now a way of the past in the state of New Mexico.
Right. Very interesting. Jason Sandell, we've run out of time. I wanted to talk more about hydrogen, but we're going to have you back to talk about that part of
As
the
you know, Scott,
conversation.
I think you do a terrific job, and I'm happy to come and bloviate and offer hot air at any time.
Well, I hope you will. You're welcome anytime, as you know. So we will do that. We'll set you up again and get you back on the air to talk about hydrogen, because that is a big word that and term that we're hearing a lot about. And the legislature, I imagine we're going to hear a lot about it coming out of Santa Fe.
Yes.
And we're going to be hearing about it for decades to come, I think.
Exactly correct. And I would add carbon capture to that conversation
Right.
as how the San Juan Basin can lead in energy transition if we embrace that viewpoint.
Very good. Well, thank you for coming in this
Thank you,
morning.
Scott.
Always good to see you. Jason
Same here.
Sandell, Aztec Well Service, my guest right here on KSJE. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, presenting Our Planet live in concert on Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. Combining HD cinematography with all new orchestrations by Oscar-winning composer Stephen Price, performed by a live on-stage orchestra. a journey of discovery featuring narration by legendary broadcaster David Attenborough. Find out more at fmtn.org/shows. Our Planet, live in concert, Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.